Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Friday, August 11th.
Good morning.
And you already know by now that Friday is our favorite day here. Not because the weekend is coming. I don't know. There's just something about Friday that's fun. Maybe because the week does end, you know. So it's kind of fun. The pressure kind of goes down. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. How are you, Rachel?
I'm doing well.
Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Recovering. Oh, man, wear your sunscreen. Wear your condoms and wear your sunscreen.
Right. She's not happy about her face because she got burned from the sun.
I got really badly burnt, and it's affecting my personal life.
Oh, no. That's too bad. Well, next time you learn, right?
Well, my
that
mom
was an expensive
you,
lesson.
You know, my mom just always, wear your sunscreen, wear your sunscreen. And I'm like, whatever, Mom. And she's right. You know, now I'm paying for it.
But you're showing also, you got to put it on your lips too, right?
That's
you see,
thing.
I never thought
oh, my
about
God.
That.
Well, the thing was, I was also laying out on a day that was overcast. So you don't think just because you don't. And I know that the UV rays still transcend through the clouds or whatever. But I don't know. I put sunscreen on. I don't think I put enough on. And now I'm paying for it royally.
Yeah. So
the weekend where I have to be in front of people, I have. I just look terrible. So.
Oh, well, I'm trying to think what you can hide. But you can't hide it. It's right on your lip. Okay. Yeah. Well, just look.
I got a nasty sun blister on my
lip. Just don't think about it. People are not going to care. Just move on. They're just going to focus on it when they talk to you.
Exactly. Like, and that's why.
I'm trying not to make you crazy.
I couldn't do a show last night because I'm like.
But they wouldn't have seen it at a distance on the stage. You think they would?
I mean, and also just like backstage, the last thing I need is like rumors swirling around with the comics. Like, have you heard that?
That's true.
You know
what
I mean?
I don't need that.
Oh, wow. Like, I don't need to perpetuate any rumors.
Wow. Then it does affect your life. My God. Wow. So you had to
I'm not comfortable enough with it. So I just have to.
That's one of the problems in being in the public eye. You know, I mean, if people see you got to make sure that you're camera ready, you know, and especially when everybody takes pictures, what the hell, you know?
That's why I texted you. I was like, do we have in person?
I know. I figured that's why you texted. I didn't see it. And I thought I told. I thought you did.
And then I found.
That's why I didn't send you anything.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Because we don't need to introduce our guest. She's been here a million times before. So we're just going to bring her in right now because she doesn't need to wait. She's got a VIP seat.
And I'm obsessed
right
with her dress because it's like a tie-dye dream.
Oh, really?
It looks like a tie-dye dream.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I know it may not be tie-dye, but it looks tie-dye. You know what I mean? I like that print.
Yeah. We're joined by Kay Brandt. Kay, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Kay has been on the show. She also was a guest co-host a couple times. So she's familiar with the show. She's been here. She's comfortable, and we love her here.
Aww.
How are you, Kay?
I'm good.
Welcome back.
I'm happy to be back.
Well, that's great. I see. Well, yeah, you dress very nice today, so thank you for that.
Today?
Well, I don't remember the previous time.
Let's go back to all the times.
Well, I don't remember what you wore before.
She puts it on.
Actually, I have pictures because they're all on my Instagram because I'm always doing selfies in here.
Right.
And then the times I was on Mofo's show, those were all video.
Right.
I have that on my YouTube channel.
Okay, that's fine.
Pull that up.
Look, I know you always dress nice. The only reason I said anything about the way you dress is because she brought it up.
Well, I want you to remember, Sam. I want you to have a photographic memory of every outfit I've ever worn on the show.
I'm already getting attacked. The show even started yet. What kind of a morning is this going to be?
I mean, it's Friday. We have to.
But thank you for making the drive, Kay.
Sure.
Love having you. How have you been?
You've been okay.
Very busy, right?
I was, and I'm not so busy anymore.
Really?
Well, I'm always busy with writing. Like, I have a million things I have deadlines for. I have three deadlines. No, I have four deadlines coming up before October. All writing.
And she's a writer. She writes erotica and things like that, right?
Yeah.
Do you write anything else too, or just
horror?
Horror.
I have a horror novel.
Really?
Do you ever combine both of them, horror erotica?
I haven't in this manifestation as an author.
Right.
I kept the horror totally separate.
Yeah.
Although there's sexual things that happen in the book.
Right.
It's not meant to be erotica.
Right.
But there's a sexual theme underneath it all, but it's a horror.
Right.
But yeah, no, I have a couple other, I have something called Cutters, which is coming out. It was going to come out this year, but now I had to push it back until next year. But it's my next horror novel that actually has more sex in it.
Right.
So I don't know if you could really call it erotica, because to me, erotica is it's tantalizing, it's titillating, it's lusty from the get-go.
Right.
You know what you're getting into is going to be a story about romance and sex, and then horror is mostly just like the structure, the backdrop, the content that the sex is placed in. And that's not Cutters as well as Souls are horror first, it's story first, and then what happens is just kind of what happens in everyday life. You get right. You know, sex things happen,
right? So I'm wondering about erotic novels. I mean, obviously not every page is just getting it on. You develop relationships between the people, right?
Oh yeah, story. Yeah.
Right, story. So, and you've written a lot. How do you come up with all these ideas, all these stories?
I'm a genius.
Yes, you are.
It's so funny because growing up, I don't know if these were considered erotica, you can tell me, but like my mom had these books that you open up the first cover and it's just a couple, some guy who looks like Fabio embracing a woman.
Oh, those are like the Harlequin romances.
But like she had so many of them.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And is that erotica?
Full collection of Harlequin romances.
My mom read all these books growing up. Isn't that funny?
That's probably like softcore erotica, right?
I feel like it's just like any girl who is born in the 80s, their mom probably... Or 70.
Yeah, my mom wasn't like that. But
my mom
plenty
is a
of women that were.
She's a reader, and she, but like, I still picture them because I was like, what is she reading? What is my mom reading?
Right.
My mom's political. Oh, okay. She likes to get, she everything she always read was serious.
But that's the thing. My mom is in politics. So
and
it would make sense
that
for
was her, outlet,
her release.
And my mom's in medicine.
Yeah, there you go. You see?
Isn't that funny?
And yeah. And, but the difference between those is that in those novels, they end the sex with like she felt his member or something, and he entered her. Period. And you probably get down and dirty, right?
Yeah, but sometimes that's all you have to say.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like your imagination is what real. You know, she guides you to your imagination.
Yeah. I mean, romance novels in general aren't necessarily. Sometimes have very little sex in them. Right. Romance is romance. It's about the romance. It's about it's about the holding hands and the kiss.
The
it's about the look.
The,
it's about the pursuit
right.
and the attaining
the feelings right?
and the unattainable and the this and the that and the emotions. And then they kind of get into an intimate situation and then it usually cuts off. And that's where the next category of erotic romance takes place. Erotic romance is explicit. But with a romantic, usually a happily ever after at the ending, which is not always the case. Because in erotica, it's usually happily for now. Like they're just everything's okay. Everything ends, and there's a strong possibility these people will be getting it on in another book, or later on down the road, or in your imagination. But in the book, it's not like they all fall in love and get married, and everything's happy and magical. If it's happily for now, and that's usually what happens in erotica.
Right.
That's cool.
And you know what makes a good writer is when they can write a lot of different stories and they're not the same. Each story is different, you know? And
every single one
you have
of my
a lot of
different
ideas, you know? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you, we established already you write a lot about lesbians and things like that. Or women that like women, if you don't want to label
them. Yeah, because that's how I became successful as a adult filmmaker.
Right.
Was making all lesbian movies.
Right.
Yeah.
So then you kind of... felt you familiar with the genre.
When I left the adult industry to write books, I was out of the business for 2 years and just submerged myself in storytelling in book form, right? And I knew that my core audience were the people who bought my movies. And all those movies I'd made up until that point were all girl.
Right.
They were all lesbian movies. So I
gotta speak to them in that
language.
That's
what I did. I made the movies that they loved the most into books.
Right.
And that way they got to actually get a much bigger story than they got in the movie because we're bound by time and budget in a movie. In the book, I could go on forever.
Right.
And suddenly the stories came alive and there were so many more levels and more depth and more characters filling the entire thing, like the World of Cherry series. You know, there's five of those books. They're all different, but the main characters go through each one of them. So the characters change, kind of like A Night at Cheers. You remember Cheers? You know, it's like the main characters at the bar were there, but then there was the players that came in and out.
And they're always
episode.
Glad you came.
Yeah, exactly. Always glad you came. So that was it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
So that makes your life interesting, I bet. So, and you also direct movies, and you make
I do.
You make porn, but you don't perform in it. You're behind the camera, behind the scenes.
I do cameo roles, but they're non-sex.
Non-sex roles. Mm-hmm. And so, and that was a conscious decision you made, right? You decided, I'm not going to get into performing. That's too much for me. I could talk about it and write about it and direct it, but I'm not going to expose myself to the world.
The thing is, there's no dabbling when it comes to actually being a performer in front of the camera and porn.
You
there's
can't
no,
just like kind of do it. Do it.
You can't, because there's too much that you have to give of yourself to even do one movie.
Right.
And then if you want to build on that, you have to be very public about it on social media and develop a star within yourself to get more work.
Right.
And then you're on that treadmill, and I just being a sex performer is not in me. I'm much happier being the dictator of it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Give the orders, you know.
Yeah, the one who controls it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think is that the little psychology that I'm always wondering behind women? Well, men I can understand, you know, but women actresses not minding or even willing to expose themselves in that way, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's like for the whole world. Where do you understand the psychology behind this? I mean, there's no consequences.
I do. I mean, everyone is different. You can't just make a blanket statement and say everyone falls into this category that performs in adult films. But, you know, a lot of the women that I know in the industry got into it because they needed the outlet to express all of their pent-up sexual energy. Like, for example, I mean, Brittany Amber, who you know. But she was in my latest, this upcoming movie that's coming out called Naked.
Right.
And it's a big
production.
Yeah. And she was telling me a story, and I actually caught it on film, but where she talks about the fact that when she was not performing, when she just had a normal job, she would spend hours and hours and hours watching porn on the internet, and kind of like, as she said, kind of fall down the rabbit hole with it and not be able to like move away from her computer, and it was taking over her life, this need to watch it.
Wow.
So as soon as she became a performer, all that went away, and now her personal life is rich and filled with you know, she's a hunter.
She needs a lot of sex and stuff and to keep her going.
Yes.
And I think
we all do, actually. I think we just don't talk about it, and we don't make it acceptable even to ourselves in our own personal life.
I just think also for men, it's just society, it's so much more appropriate for them to talk, like for men to be open about their their
more
sex
accepted,
lives
maybe.
Whereas women, there's such a double standard, like women can't be seen as sexual beings, otherwise they're seen as slutty or easy or whatever.
But it's hard to imagine a woman that's really addicted to porn the way you're describing, but
it's
apparently there are, right?
Yeah, and you know, and I like it too. I mean, there's definitely times when I was like, you know, for me, before I got into the adult industry, I love watching gangbangs. You know, like the simple, like the regular,
Who doesn't like collaboration?
Collaboration, yeah.
That's a lot of attention on one person, right? That's pretty cool.
To me, it's more like the freak show aspect. Like, I watch it and I'm so stunned by everything I'm seeing that I'm not even really turned on. You know, like I'm just like, the visual stimulation is overwhelming because you're like,
there's a lot happening, huh?
Well, it's just so much. Then I think about, you know, the women who do gangbangs as the solo girl in it, you know, like I'm still curious as to the preparation that goes into that.
Right, right.
I know what the preparation is for anal sex, but I don't know what the preparation is for doing a gangbang. And maybe there's none. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never filmed one. I've filmed orgies,
but not gangbangs. It's got to be painful eventually, right?
Well,
it's got to be painful.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on for hours.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I just think I feel like sex and pain sometimes, I mean, there's a whole genre of that.
That's
BDS.
True.
There's, you know, there's a whole people
culture.
Like that.
They go together,
people like,
yeah.
you know, it's some for some, it's synonymous, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's
that.
Normal.
Pleasure
yeah.
and pain, yeah. See, sex is so complicated because...
It's just not talked about often enough.
Right.
I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, there's so much I don't even know about my own body because we're not...
We don't
As
talk
women,
about
we don't
it,
even right. know what certain women don't even know what certain parts do. Mm.
Well,
you know
how old
I mean?
Are you, Rachel?
30.
Okay. Well, you're at that age now where it's time to learn.
Oh, I mean, I know how the parts work. Like, I get that, but I'm just saying, like, it's where else are you to learn it unless you seek out that information on your own? You're not going to learn it from a doctor. You're not going to learn it from a school. You
Most
know what
people
I mean?
Learn
like,
it from porn, I think.
You have
yeah,
to,
they
exactly.
do.
Early on.
And there was just a study about that men who watch more porn and women who watch more porn usually are far more familiar with the anatomy and how it works.
Right. And they probably have better sex too,
yeah,
you know, because
absolutely.
They're into it.
Oh, yeah.
They're in touch with the sexuality.
Oh, hell
That's
yeah. When I gave myself permission to watch gangbangs, I was like... I was like, you know, when I actually said, okay, this is okay. This is what I want. And I'm just going to be honest about it. And this is the DVD I'm going to buy. And I felt like I became like far more accepting of myself and my
right.
sexuality.
Isn't Very that interesting how you, yeah. but how you said, I'm going to allow myself because it's society
oh, yeah.
that
yeah,
has
yeah.
taught us that
100%
women specifically okay. like to be interested in sex. It makes us look different for some people. There's a double standard, right?
Right.
Men are, it's okay if they're interested in sex, but women, you know, we're supposed to, if we are, we're supposed to keep it to ourselves. We can't
right.
talk about it,
right,
you know?
Right. So. And it's obviously, it's much better now than it used to be.
Much
but
better.
At the same time, we're still a very timid society, I think. We don't
I think,
talk
but you know,
it.
Like on Facebook, and is more on Facebook than Twitter, but I have a large female
yeah.
fan base, and they are very vocal with me openly on social media
yeah.
that my books turn them on, that they get wet when they're reading my material, that they just count down the days until my next book comes out. They see my movies, they get involved, they send me messages saying, oh my god, I can't get past the first sex scene in your latest movie because it's so good, I just keep rewinding and playing
that's
it
awesome.
over and over. Yeah, I mean, then that's what I want to hear
yeah.
because that means that I'm doing something right.
I was gonna, I had a feeling that you had a strong female fan base as well.
I do, but I also men. Like I mean, when I was primarily making lesbian content, I have very even bigger male fan base.
Yeah.
Right.
So that really like the lesbian.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then there's other men who just can't get into it at all.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
they need a dick in there.
They need
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they yeah. just the two vaginas or three
They're
vaginas.
Straight, but they need a dick in there.
Right, but maybe it's cuz they picture themselves there, you
Yeah,
know?
That's
like
exactly what
dick,
it is.
You know?
Well, that's the popularity of VR.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Oh, I wonder
VR
how
is
that's
amazing.
Change.
I just had somebody say this to me yesterday, asked this of me yesterday, like, well, do you know, like, this would be great, you know, the adult industry could really, I'm like, the adult industry has been doing VR
yeah.
for years,
exactly.
for years, and actually most people don't realize, but the adult industry is usually a pioneer of tech.
Right.
Before right. mainstream.
Makes
right.
sense.
And they allocate more money to mm-hmm. it from the beginning and take the risk because the adult industry is always taking risks.
Yeah.
More so the mainstream. Like, you know, Vivid, which is no longer a movie company, but when they were, they did the first 3D movie for adults.
What does Vivid do now? Just...
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Because
oh,
I drive
like
by
them.
Their... Cause they're
no,
on
no,
Kawinga.
No. I like them just fine. It's
they're
just...
On
it's sad.
What happened?
Are they open? Are they still... Because I said...
That building is still
is
there.
Is it still open or they don't?
Oh, it's still there.
Yeah.
They have run a radio station. Mm-hmm. They run a satellite radio station, Vivid
right.
Radio, from there now.
Right,
And
right.
it's all porn stars hosting.
Okay.
But
right.
It's... they haven't made a movie in years.
Yeah, so the radio is the only thing they do now?
That's all they do.
That was like such a small thing for them.
Very.
Wow.
Were they the ones that did all the like celebrity?
Yeah.
Like the Paris Hilton and
yeah.
things like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I get into this conversation a lot, and it's a long conversation. It would take up most of this show.
Okay. They don't deserve the attention.
Well, they are a victim of what happened to the industry, and piracy
mm-hmm.
plays a large role mm. in that. You know, there's only so much money that a company can bleed before they decide to cut their losses, and
right.
that's pretty much what happened with Vivid.
Yeah, so it's the piracy a lot. Has to do with that.
That, and then there's other corrupt things that have gone on outside of the industry that affected inside the industry. That and that has nothing to do with piracy. It has to do with other things.
Okay. Eventually, you become too big, and then you. I mean, my point is, even when you get big, it's no guarantee you're gonna last. You know, any day something.
Also porn. You can go on people don't pay for porn anymore. With the internet, you can get.
But that's what we're trying to stop.
Right.
Sending that message
right,
out.
Right, right, right.
Because it's stealing content. Whatever the content is just nasty.
Exactly.
Some people put money out and people need to get paid.
Right.
And if the content is being stolen, then what they're basically saying is that eventually no content will be made because nobody will be able to afford to do anything.
Well, remember when Playboy took out nudity from their.
Yeah,
magazines, the magazine. Now they're putting it back.
Lasted only 2 months, three months. Yeah. The thing is that, with pornography, I'm sure the revenue has gone down, but the audience has increased. And I think there's more people willing to pay for porn because watching it free is the worst fucking experience ever. You get banners, you got shitty quality. You get clips.
Yeah, sounds like you know,
you're a man who's looking for quality for a teenager
Absolutely.
Or a guy in college or his early 20s or mid 20s.
Right.
That's enough.
Right. But there's a market. And also I can tell you that on me, the free stuff on the tube sites actually works because if there's a logo of the website on there, I'm going, wow, I want this in better quality and I want more of it. So I'll go to that website and I'll pay.
You have to be willing to pay.
Right.
I mean, and that's the thing is that it was never a question before the tube sites.
Right.
And this is a very long story and I've told pieces of it here and there when I've come on your show, but there is an entity that owns more than half of the adult industry now that was primarily responsible for developing those tube sites and widening out the usage of piracy, of pirated content, to make it seem like it was perfectly okay. You know, I mean, the people who, I don't want to say kids, but, whoever was accessing the tube sites early in the onset of them probably didn't realize that content was stripped from a feature, stripped from a company's, and then repurposed for a tube site. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is that, they didn't really, put it all together. They were just happy that they could watch some porn.
Right, exactly.
And it was instantly available and they didn't have to pay for it. Right. But the ramifications were so far reaching once it spread, and then it became a thing where it was almost, it became like a cool thing for kids, guys, to get on the internet and say, I don't pay for my porn. No, porn is free. We don't pay for that shit. It's another piece of society condemning. They're buying into a very dangerous mindset, which is that is shit. Therefore, it is worth nothing.
Right,
right, right.
And it's real and true content. I have I'm given some of the biggest budgets that the industry gives out when I make my movies.
Yeah.
I primarily make large budget movies, and I don't want to get into exact numbers, but it's those movies cost a lot of money, and the company behind them is aware from the get-go that they may never make their money back. Yet they're willing to take the risk and put this stuff forward because they know that they're going to get an exceptional piece of film
coming
out of it. So it's not like I'm just sitting there and I'm just flipping on a camera. I have a crew,
and
I have a large crew, and I have big cast.
And they have to get paid.
And I have stars in my movie, and they cost money. And it's not, I mean, somebody is fronting this cash, and that person is... the risk of not making that money back.
Right. But I would imagine still they must be making a lot of money because there's still a lot of pay sites out there. And I think they're doing very well.
I think they're doing
Let me tell you. Do you want me to tell you why they're all going to go out of business? I'll fucking tell you. Okay? Because, this happened to me a couple
which
times.
Which sites?
All porn sites. Okay? Let me tell you
Free
something.
Free porn sites are going to go out of business?
Pay ones. Oh, pay ones. I'll tell you why. I started looking for VR content because I have Sony VR, the PlayStation VR, and it's amazing. I mean,
I'll send you the link of the VR scene I directed last fall.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, but you want it in high definition. You want it good quality. I can't watch a shit free. So one site I signed up for great content, right? I mean, you're sitting there and the girl is right on you. It's amazing, you know? They must put like cameras on the head of the actor, and then he sits there,
oh,
his dick is right there, and she's like giving him blowjobs and sitting on him and everything. But it's like from your point of view kind of thing. And they do it for women too, you know, like the women's lying down and the guy's doing her stuff. But let me tell you why they're going to go out of business. I tried two different other sites for VR.
What are they?
Every time I don't remember the names, okay? I can, because I don't
talk
remember.
To me later.
But some of the big ones.
Okay.
They're the biggest ones. Fuck. Okay.
Fuck.
Okay. I sign up. Bam, they charge my card three times at once.
Oh, you told me.
And
this.
it gets declined. It happened to me on another side, the same thing. So they're going to wonder, why the fuck am I not getting any members? People are stealing my content. I'm saying, you can't even take my money.
Yeah, that has to do with web management, though. That has to do with them.
But you have to think about it. You have to think about it.
They do, but it doesn't mean that these businesses, that they, most of these websites pay for pay sites to come in because the standard ones won't accept it. PayPal won't do anything.
Right. I feel like it's like the cannabis industry that, you know, you have to find like,
but you know, it's like
places that'll take your money. I mean, it's porn. They want to make sure that you know, they're doing everything legal.
It's bullshit.
But it's after it happened to me twice, I'm very reluctant to try again because I had to replace my fucking debit card.
I would do it with Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve is where my
really and were. they have a lot of 3D stuff.
They've just started last year was VR. Their first year doing VR.
Okay.
And so I'll send you the link to the one I did.
Site.
What's that?
That's a reputable site.
And a very reputable company.
And she works with them.
Don't they make lingerie as well?
Well, that's the thing. Why Adam and Eve has survived as strongly as they have is because 75% of the company is novelties.
I feel like they make if you want to be like a sexy fire woman
they have
for Halloween, that's where you go.
And sex toys and everything, right? Yeah, the novelties.
Novelties.
Sexy Halloween.
Yeah. But they do still produce some stuff, right? Some content?
Well, they have a standalone movie division, and that's where I've made 6 movies for in the past 2 years.
That's amazing. Cool. Are they good people there?
They're wonderful people. They're some of the best people. Actually, they are the best people in the industry that I've ever met.
I've
worked for a lot of different companies. I've made movies for a lot of different companies, and they are the best.
Have you been to the AVN Awards in Las Vegas?
Many times.
Yeah.
I've won awards.
That's so cool. No, I'm from Vegas, born and raised, and I remember one year I was at like another convention in the same area, and I was in like middle school or high school, and we were walking through, and also the AVN was going there was all these porn stars, and it was just cool to like I'm
that other convention
over.
Must have been CES.
It was
electronics, but they don't
CES
they don't,
hasn't existed for years.
It was either the jewelry or something.
They no longer coincide. Those two conventions used to coincide, and they don't anymore.
That's what it was back in the day. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because the couple times I went, like in 2009, 2010, there was the CES convention.
I just feel like they should do it different because I feel like a lot of people, or either do it the same.
They haven't
or
done it like that for years.
Because
they do run
people want to go to both. I would feel.
And also they've separated the conventions by hotels. Mm. So where the AEE, the Adult Entertainment Expo, that happens in the days leading into the AVN Awards, used to be at the Palms. Or the Las Vegas Convention Center. No longer. Now it's everything is at the Hard Rock, including the awards.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
They're the only ones willing to put out the reputation.
It's not that they're, you know what, they are in line with the reputation of being rebellious or kind of like, fuck you, or we're rock and rollers, we can do whatever we want. They cater to a more, a less pretentious crowd, more like, you know, people who just want to, you know, what do you call that? Not fringe of society, but they're just not marching to the same conservative beat as a convention center would or something.
Right,
like that. But the convention center took it for years and years and years. Why they switched is because as the industry significantly downsized and shrunk because of piracy, and it did. You know, like I worked for companies that are no longer in existence or that they've now become just websites and they're no longer functioning production companies. But, you know, and a lot of companies have just completely disappeared they no longer had the ability to fill the space. So the last time I was at the convention center was in 2011 for the AVN 2011s, and they it was like a whole lot of empty space on the convention floor. Like, it was only, and they used to be able to fill two floors, the adult industry, now it was just one floor, and then it got smaller and smaller and smaller. So but now at the Hard Rock, where it's been for years, and I think for like at least the past 3 years that I've gone, it's almost too crowded. It's not big enough.
Oh wow.
You know, like, it fits all the booths. And you get, and it's not just adult companies that are there. It's all the novelty companies.
Right.
There's a parallel convention that goes on at the same time as AEE called ANE. It's the Adult Novelty Expo. And so, you know, like, you get that crossover going on there. But I mean, just walking through the floor of all the booths, it's like wall to wall people. You're just jammed in there. Yeah, you know, like, you can't even move at some point. It's just
Sweaty. Everybody's trying to get to the stars. Yeah.
Do you
get
shoot a lot of your movies here?
I only shoot here.
Yeah. Have you ever, like...
This is the porn capital of the world here in the valley.
Florida is a big porn capital as well because of taxes and
Yeah, but
stuff.
They're not... It's still not as friendly as
yeah.
LA.
Yeah,
is.
Nothing is close to the quantity that comes out of here.
And the problem with filming there is that it costs a lot of money to have to fly talent.
Yeah.
If you're paying for them, and then you have to lodge them.
Yeah.
So here in LA...
But
there
is
a lot of talent out there as well. Yeah. I lived in Florida for four and a half years, and I remember, there's a... This was like 4 years ago, though.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of like hustler stuff and being filmed.
No, that's true. I mean, when you look at all these Netflix documentaries with those girls, aren't they in Florida almost always?
I'm sure it's different, but there was like a point because it's cheap. It was cheap to film there.
Oh, okay.
Or the tax. I don't know. You probably know.
No, I don't, because I know that to film in Florida, there's very few people that you could use for that. And then you have to fly your crew in.
Yeah.
You know, like, I work with the same crew over and over again because I know what I'm going to get from them.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds interesting, man. I mean, you're definitely in an industry where you can get a lot of satisfaction from it. You know, and I think one thing that I saw, feature that I saw that probably is going to slow down piracy, is that you can only play the file if you log in. Have you seen those before?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you download a movie, you have the MP4 on your computer, but you can't play it unless you're online and subscribing to that website.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying?
I do.
That's a good way to do it. And maybe not every website can get away with it, but I think niche ones and ones that have high demand.
Yeah, but the thing is, even the tube sites, I mean, eventually, the reason why they're not dependent on money and you paying for all the content that's up there is because the owner of those tube sites is a very big company that has billions of dollars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Called MindGeek.
Really?
They were formerly known as Manwin.
Oh, so it's Manwin that was behind all this?
Oh, yeah. Fabian, the guy who started Manwin. Mm-hmm. You can Wikipedia all that. And
so it was like from inside the industry, the monster came
out. It was an outsider. You know, he's German. And he was a kid who found a loophole and decided, kind of like Napster, you know, file sharing, but really more tube sites.
Right.
And take the content. If you get the content, he found a way to get the content and put it up there and put it out there.
Yeah.
And it took off, you know, and he made a gazillion dollars off of doing that.
I think it's so crazy the user submitted videos.
Yeah. I know. It's like there's everything.
Well, Pornhub now has become much more compliant with other porn companies, with adult companies. And now they get consent, they get permission from companies to put up scenes from their movies.
Right.
There's a couple of
and
scenes.
And I think that helps.
So if you like this,
promotion.
You can click to see the full video.
And that's what
I was trying to say.
Because
before.
I kind of freaked out a couple months ago. I was clicked on Pornhub. I saw something that had to do with my movies. And I looked at it. I'm like, what the fuck is my scene? These scenes are from my movie. So I call Adam and Eve, and they're like, no, those scenes that we gave permission for. And it's just a scene. And yeah, they can see it for free. Yeah. But if they want to see any more of it, it links. And it's got the advertisements on it. And
I think that's brilliant, too.
Good.
That's good
because
it gives you a little taste, not the whole kitchen. You know what I mean? Like that way they can...
Free samples. Yeah. I think free samples always work. They really do. Let somebody sample what they're going to have
to
pay
for. You
want
to leave them wanting more.
Right, yeah. Right. But I definitely think there's still room for pay sites because you get quality stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you get
there's
quality stuff.
There's always going to be people. There's people who want to pay for the good shit.
Yeah, exactly. There's premium, yeah. And that's what they need to cater
yeah,
those, to.
And I have, I'd say that, you know, most of my fan base is willing to pay,
yeah.
And they even like to show me proof that they paid by taking pictures of the DVDs. And I have one guy who lays them out on the bed, and he's like got a whole Cape Ranch collection of movies, and then he posts it on Facebook and Twitter. And I just think it's so funny.
Hashtag my Friday night. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'll be damned if I'm going to masturbate to a page full of fucking bells and whistles and banners and million
it's
videos playing. Yeah, I can't masturbate to that.
No.
I need to be...
I still like DVD. Like, yeah. I still would like to have it in my hand and, you know, like,
yeah,
play
right?
it and then close it up in a case and put it away.
Yeah,
I just because I'm old school like that, you know? Like, but it's... It is what it is. It is what it is.
Exactly. And if you're an artist, you keep creating regardless, right?
Right. This is why I write books, too.
Right.
I have 21 books on Amazon.
Yeah, yeah.
Love
Tell
it.
People how they can find them so they can buy them.
You're just going to search Kay Brandt, K-A-Y-B-R-A-N-D-T. And you're just going to, as soon as you type in my name, you're going to find 20 erotic books and one horror book to download.
There you go. And if you just Google you, you'll find you in a million places.
Yeah,
right?
But I'm also, you can find my books on Barnes & Noble for Nook.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them on iBooks, which is an app through the iStore.
Apple or something?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I have my books are there. My books are also on Google Play. So if you go to Google Play or if you have an Android, you should have an icon that says books.
Oh,
hit
okay.
that and you type in my name and you will find all my books on there. One of my books got banned on Apple.
On
iBooks,
yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah,
why?
Well,
because of the title.
What's the title?
It's called At Mother's Command, and it's a BDSM book, and they don't like to put out anything in the erotica category that has mother in the title.
Right.
Really?
Insinuates
like
children.
And shit. Yeah, yeah. That's true. But I mean, look, it
Meanwhile,
makes sense.
Meanwhile, I'm sure O.J. Simpson's book, If I Did It, is, you know.
What a motherfucker he is. What a motherfucker to even write a book and call it that.
Right?
It's so fucked
up. And the
up.
Fact that you probably could buy it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, fucking assholes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, what's this? Like, can't.
Meanwhile,
who does that?
Meanwhile, Mein Kampf by Hitler is
If I was
discount.
Being accused for a murder, if I went through all this crap and I made it out without having to, like, serve for these crimes, I would never write a book.
You mean
about
you wouldn't
it.
Write a novel?
Yeah, I would never bring that up. I just got into a conversation with a doctor, a PhD, who is an advocate of the porn industry, an advocate over, I hate this term, ethical porn. I hate this term.
Yeah.
Because it's only used by people who have no idea what they're talking about.
Right. What's ethical
porn?
Yeah, what's ethical
well,
porn?
But that's up to one person.
Well, this
subjective.
Is what I've been going back and forth with him for a couple of days over email, and this is my point was that, you know, this is not an ego statement, but I've made some very, very big and high profile movies over the past 8 years that I've been a director in porn. And he had no idea who I was.
Yeah.
No idea.
Wait, names, what are some of them? Names. I want to know if I probably haven't ever seen them, but I've never watched a full. I've never truthfully watched a full porn. I can never get through all of it.
Right.
I'm over before it's over.
Well,
right.
my movies are long. Like,
yeah.
Safe
yeah.
Landings is a movie I made for Adam and Eve 2 years ago, and it's based on my novel Safe Landings. And so I'm the first director ever, an adult, to do full adaptations of best-selling novels.
So are these 2 hour, like an hour and
no,
a half
no, that one's
long?
Three. Oh, Baby Sting the Baumgartners is the movie I made last year for Adam and Eve that is based on a New York Times and USA Today best-selling novel
oh,
that
wow.
was at one time higher on the New York Times charts than Stephen King.
Amazing.
And the writer, the author of that book, Selena Kitt, is also my publisher. She owns my publishing company. And when I made Safe Landings, which she published into a movie for Adam and Eve, she was like, hey, how do I get to do that? How
right.
do you know? Maybe you want to make one of my books into a movie. And I'm like, oh, you would let me?
Yeah.
Because like at one time she was making an enormous amount of money in sales on her books. I mean, enormous. The Baby Sting, the Baumgartner franchise of books put her on the map and turned her into a, if you are really into erotica, if you're really, really into reading erotica, you would know Selena.
Yeah.
And And she gave me the rights for an undisclosed amount of money, but unbelievably affordable. And it took me 4 days to basically do a chapter by chapter adaptation of her book. And the movie is 4 hours long and has 14 sex scenes in it, which is basically triple the size of a normal.
It would take me years to finish one of her
movies. But she probably figures it's going to happen that way. But to me, this is something new, because when I watch porn, I don't care about the story. I just want to see, like,
I mean,
look, you want to see a setting, but you don't care about how the characters.
I feel like men and women are different. Women like to hear. We're very different.
Yeah, I have fans that tell me that get mad at me if I don't have enough story in my movies. They'll tell me there was really not enough story in that one. Yeah, because they want it.
They want to connect to the characters.
Well, it's mental stimulation too. They want to get lost in something, because I have fans that are diehard porn buyers or fans. Yeah. And, you know, like, some of them have been watching porn for 30, 40 years. And so they can tell you about the days when movies, adult films were made for over $1 million in the 70s. And they were played in theaters.
In theaters.
Yeah.
Shot on film.
Yeah. Shot on film. And big crews, just like a mainstream, only they had explicit sex in them. And then they watched the evolution, you know, through the 90s when sex became very amateurish and not very well done. Videotape quickies, one room. Two people done, you know, and to the turnaround that's happened over since I got in the industry, which is story porn has come back. So it's they'll tell me straight off, you know, that it's not like when you watch porn for so many years, there's only so much interest you could have in just watching what we call gonzo. Remember Tori used to laugh when I said that word, but it was like, you know, when it was, it's all sex and there's no story. And there's plenty of companies that do that. And there's plenty of companies who do it very well.
Right.
But, I have done that, where I've done light story around mostly sex. And that's when a couple of my fans are like, you know,
what do you say to I went to boarding school in Utah for a year.
Wow.
That was ran by Mormons.
How exclusive.
Right.
How fancy.
And a Jewish girl, too.
There are not much porn watchers there, believe it or not, in Utah.
You're
actually
kidding.
Surprisingly, there probably are. But the thing is I think I read an article.
It's just everything is forbidden there, including alcohol.
Exactly. And what do you say to people, especially, like, I feel like it's a lot of, like, religious-based people, which I feel are a huge part of, might be, like, a huge percentage of porn watchers, ironically.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who are like, porn is the devil? I mean, it's just art. But, like, what do you say to people like that who are like, porn is
the cause of sex addiction? There's no point saying anything to them. Because they are not open to hearing the truth. And the bottom line is that those people are the guys who are masturbating in their closet.
Right.
And that's all there is to it. Because, look, you know.
And unfortunately, they also abuse children, by the way. I want to know.
Catholic Church.
Yeah. I mean, when you limit somebody with their sexuality and, you know, and you shut it down, it can't be shut down. So they
can't be shut
these
down.
Are the outlets.
It does so
where
much.
It's easy for them with the boys
so
and the
much
girls.
As a kid. Like, growing, I mean, sex wasn't really. I didn't see my parents work together and they lived together, but they weren't very physically affected, you know, in front of us. We would see it sometimes, but we would be like, oh, this is weird. And like, sex just wasn't something that was like, we weren't open about and we weren't talked about. And so like, and I, you know, I was always interested in it from a young age or whatever, but I mean, I just think it does something to children and at a young age when you start forbidding them and making because a lot of times I feel like parents make sex seem like it's a bad thing.
I'm gonna suggest that you read one of my books. It's called The At Mother's Command, the one that's not on iBooks, because I don't want to give too much of the story away on air, but you're gonna relate to it.
Yeah,
it's the story.
But isn't that fucked
of
up?
A girl raised in suburbia with parents who have no, like, they're just, they seem like they're best friends, but they have no physical connection, and the story that evolves from there is gonna blow your mind.
Well, to find out, like, my mom listens to Howard Stern, you know, like, she had Playboy, she read, you know what I mean? So it's just so bizarre how parents approach sex, and I feel that, you know, because it's not talked about in our schools.
Right.
I mean, we have to beg to get safe sex education that's other than don't have sex. You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's interesting how we develop our relationship to sex from a young age based off our parents.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, that's not, what a mother's command is. Mm-hmm. That's where right. I took that from, was that if the people who raise you that you look up to, that, you know, they create this life for you, and then you realize that that life they created for you is a complete opposite right. of what their real life is. It's and there's more, far more to the story than that.
Yeah,
but
I wanna read
it's
that.
Yeah, and all my books are 99 cents. I actually just, the only book that wasn't was Safe Landings, because that's you know, because it was based on a movie and blah blah blah, or, you know, movie was based on it. So I had it for $3.99. I just lowered it to 99 cents. So I mean, for anybody who says that they can't afford to read or hit those, you don't need a Kindle, you know, and you don't need a Nook. You can use your phone,
right,
or tablet, or
do
your
you have
iPad
available in book form too.
Safe
print?
Landings is my only book that you can get on Amazon in print.
Okay, but that's a good story. I mean, that's definitely worth
it. Oh, it's
it,
an
right?
it's an humble. It's about two women who. Who become friendly with each other or bond after they both are survivors of a plane crash.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
Yeah, it's
do
a very dramatic story.
Do you ever write books based off your life? Like stories from your life, or are they all about
people? Not at this point.
Yeah.
I was a playwright in the 1990s. I had a theater company here, very close to here in NoHo. And I wrote a play about my childhood.
Oh, wow.
So but it was too big and too expensive. It was a 3-hour play.
Really?
Three acts. Yeah.
Oh, good.
So it was like one of those things where we had a very limited run. But that was an autobiographical
yeah.
tale. But the thing is, I've tried to make it into a motion picture for years, as far as a script, just writing the screenplay, and I'm just way too close to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Way
right.
too close to it. So we'll see.
Now, if what would you recommend to someone? Because there's women that probably have never watched porn before, right? They've been married all their lives, blah, 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 never watched. What would you suggest to them? How can they approach porn in a way that, you know, because many of them, I'm not going to watch porn. I'm never
right.
going to touch, you know. But I was thinking about that, because there's a lot of women probably that are totally not in touch with that stuff.
Well, the women that meet up with me usually find it disarming to get to know me, and they feel comfortable talking about sex and their sexuality and their interest in porn,
yeah.
their curiosity of porn. And then it takes a lot of coaxing. But what yeah. I found with Babysitting the Baumgartners, what Selena Kitten I found with that, was that she has such a massive fan base of readers that spans the globe. And when we did a big promotional campaign leading into that movie launch last year. And what we found were there were a lot of women on Facebook that commented to both of us saying, I've never bought a porn in my life, but because I love Selena and because this book is a special place in my heart. Like, there are some people that Babysitting the Baumgartners was the very first piece of erotica they ever read. And the story, as sexual, as explicit, as hot, as naughty as it is, it's kind of endearing. It's a coming of age story, you know, like it's about the unicorn. As when AVN did a review on my movie, they said this is the perfect unicorn. You know, it's the babysitter who goes to Key West with her, with the people she's been babysitting for. She's now of age. She's now 18. They take her away for a holiday in Key West to babysit the kids. And she ends up falling into this relationship with the three
wow,
of them, a romantic relationship
wow.
with the Baumgartners.
Yeah, yeah.
And no strings attached. No weird emotions afterwards or in it or anything. Just lots of love, support, magic, really, really hot sex
right.
that goes from where, you know, Mrs. Baumgartner is just taking the babysitter and just, you know, putting lotion on her, rubbing her, or insist on shaving her so that she doesn't have bush outside of her bikini line. And, you know, that sort of turns into them making out in the jacuzzi, and then it becomes
right.
something else. And the husband gets involved after, you know, the two women are, you know, like it's yeah. just, it's, I don't want to, you got to read it.
That I get, well, you got me hard just
yeah,
by that.
See?
So that's
see,
enough,
you
know,
see,
that's all you have to
yeah,
do
yeah.
is give us a sample.
A
you know?
Sample.
A sample.
So yeah, we did this whole thing, this whole campaign leading up to the launch of the movie. And there was a lot of women, Selena's fans, who said, because I trust Selena and because I love this movie and because Selena trusts Kay and is really proud of what she's done, because Selena got to see the movie months before it came out because I needed her stamp of approval on it. Before, you know, like I let her approve the script before I filmed it. She was highly involved with the casting,
right.
And then, you know, in the movie, and then in the months leading up to the release of it, every week she'd release a blog, and she would take the still photos from the movie and then take chapters from
oh,
the book,
cool.
and she would take the pictures
how
and match
cool.
them
for
with
her. It must be cool. I mean, to see her book
with passages from the book. Well, it was so successful that Adam and Eve let me make a sequel last November called
oh,
Adventures
wow.
with the Baumgartners, which came out not this past spring. May.
Oh, yeah. Very cool, Kay. Well,
if you go to my YouTube
productive.
Channel, you can see all those trailers and a whole lot of behind the scenes clips from all those movies.
Really? On yeah. YouTube?
Well, you can look me up right now.
Okay.
It's not K-A-Y. Good, look at K, just the initial K, Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T.
Okay.
And there's my YouTube page. And I have one clip from a behind-the-scenes clip from Avengers with the Baumgartners, which, like, it's only been, I only published it, like, 3 weeks ago, and it's already has 10,000 hits on
oh,
it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so. you have stories to tell, and you tell them nicely, and why not? You know, you'll have all the following you want. We're totally out of time, Kay.
I hate when that happens.
I know, right? Yeah. Well, you're welcome back anytime. You know
okay.
that. So tell people how they can find you again and how they can get you books.
Well, you want to look me up on social media, you can hit me up on Facebook, Kay Brandt on Facebook. On Twitter, I go by the company name, my former company name, Jewelbox Films, and that's JEWELBOXFILMS. You can Google me, and when you Google me, you're going to find a whole lot of crap, a lot of good crap, a lot of press releases, my other social media. You can find me on Instagram at Kay with a dot, K.Brandt.
Okay.
I'm always posting pictures.
You.
Okay, I'll follow you back. And Amazon, you know, find my books. You can do the same thing on all the other apps, Google Books, iBooks.
Yeah. Look. Go get turned on. Get your rocks off. Write her. Tell her how great she is.
Yeah.
And she'll love you for it. Okay, thanks for joining us as always.
You're welcome.
Much continued success to you.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
And everybody, thank you for joining us. We're going to see, we won't see each other at Emerald Exchange, but we're both going to be there at different times.
What is that?
Emerald Exchange, tell her quickly.
Emerald Exchange is just a gathering up in Thousand Oaks, Malibu area of cannabis brands from up north who are all like organically sun grown. And it's just kind of like a festival, a cannabis festival.
Nice.
I'm an advocate.
So there's like a wellness area.
Do you have any?
I do. You want to, after we, well, we have, Sam and I have our bonding time after the show.
Oh, you do?
You'll just stick around. You'll just stick around.
Yeah. So it's a gathering this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
And you can only get tickets before you go.
Yeah, get tickets
no
before
tickets
you go.
At the door.
If anyone's listening and wants to go, use my promo code Wolfie for a little discount for tickets.
There you go.
And
I got my ticket, and I'm getting ready to go on Sunday. They have a wellness area with yoga and massage and all that.
Oh, that
shit.
Sounds cool.
So very hippie. It's very.
That's what I'm looking forward to. That
new agey.
You know?
Yeah, that's cool.
Up my alley for sure. All right, Kay. Thanks. Have a great weekend, Rachel. See you on Monday.
Always.
And everybody, have a wonderful weekend.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.